important as a human being, as a, just a girl, just a girl in a world. Wow. Usually we end with a song, but we've just been chatting.
We could chat for hours.
We could chat for hours. That was Panacea.
That was awesome. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us, Ben, for sharing your wisdom. This is CKUT 90.3 FM, and I'll see you guys at from 5 to 6 p.m. today, but usually that's not a thing. And next month, we're going to have a segment on major depressive disorder to celebrate our one-year anniversary. Bye.
You're listening to CKUT. The following is a previously broadcast program. Stay tuned. Al-Hara.
Welcome to Amanda, 1 hour of African current affairs brought to you here on CKUT 90.3 FM for 36 plus years. And I say that for a reason. There are a bunch of people in the studio right now. We have Roberto with his two adorable mini little children, Milan and Elio. Sama, Clara Swan, Fabrice, Malude,
Doug Miller,
Gwen Shulman. Few of us have been doing this all 36 years, or maybe one of us, but a lot of us have been doing this for a long
27
time.
27 years, that's not bad.
And 27 years. And so we're throwing around these numbers, and we have a jam-packed studio and people calling in because, dear listeners, who we love so much, this is going to be our last show. And try not to cry about it. It's time. It's time to pass the mantle on to somebody else. But it's been an amazing, amazing ride. Right, Doug?
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. I don't even know where to start. But you know what? Tonight, folks, I think what's been on our mind, all of us, has been what's going on in Israel and Palestine. Yeah. So,
and we're dedicating our last show.
We're dedicating our last show to that. Mm-hmm. Gwen and I have formulated a declaration on behalf of Amandla, and we would start with that in a few seconds, but later on, others will contribute their pieces as well. And then eventually we'll go on to just a little bit of reminiscences and
some fun.
Nostalgia.
Some
and
nice, fun.
Yeah, it's fun stuff. The way people have come together, and I'm embarrassed and flattered, but at the same time, it's wonderful what we have accomplished in 27 and 36 years, respectively.
Yeah, and I just want to, before we go to a little musical break, I just want to say that we are painfully aware that we are winding down the show at a time when independent media voices and perspectives are vital. It is such a dark hour as the destruction of Palestine proceeds unabated with the complicity of Western countries, including, yes, Canada. So Doug and I will be opening the show tonight with Amandla's message of solidarity and demand for an immediate ceasefire and justice for Palestine. Sama will follow suit. And then after that, we're just going to raise our arms in joy of what has been an amazing show that has accomplished so much with dozens of people who have contributed. We'll take a little musical break. We'll be right back.
You might as well take it then, Zoe.
Yeah. We were, Robin. Thank you.
What was your choice of music?
Well, Osibisa is a band, Ghanaians, who were a fusion music from the late 60s, and were a favorite of everybody. We danced that after independence. Everybody danced it. It was all over Africa. It was a semblance of the freedom and the expression of happiness that everybody felt just after independence. And so you can hear it in their sound and the way they go. Anyway, sorry, Gwen, let's get back to business.
Yeah, so 36, 37 years ago, there's some debate about that. Amandla was forged in the heat of the South African anti-apartheid movement. And tonight, in our last show, Amandla is forged in the heat of Palestinian anti-apartheid struggle. And so we have decided that tonight we're going to devote our content to that struggle and to a statement that Doug and I have prepared on behalf of Amandla that will be followed up with something that Sama has prepared. So we're just going to dive right in with that, and then afterwards we'll return to a celebration of the show. Amandla Radio denounces Israeli apartheid and supports the freedom struggle of the Palestinian people. Amandla Radio was founded during the freedom struggle against apartheid in South Africa, imperialism, settler colonialism, and in support of a free and independent Pan-African continent. The imperialist domination of colonial Africa was, and is, based on racist theories of superiority enforced by brute force and has cost millions of African lives. On November 6, 2023, South Africa withdrew all its remaining diplomats from its embassy in Italy.
In Israel.
Oh, my God. Malud is laughing, and rightly so. In Israel. And is threatening to expel the Israeli ambassador to South Africa. And I quote, whose position has been described by Pretoria as untenable over his aggressive stance in defense of apartheid policies being imposed by the Zionist state, unquote. The South African President's office issued a statement declaring that, quote, the government was disappointed by the impunity of the Israeli government and its refusal to respect international law and United Nations resolutions. A genocide under the watch of the international community cannot be tolerated. Another Holocaust in the history of humankind is not acceptable.
Since its founding, Western imperial interests have manipulated the story of Israel and Palestine to justify Israeli occupation of territory seized from already established communities. In reality, Israel is a Western imperial project, and the current authoritarian, right-wing, racist regime controlling power and fomenting racial hatred in Palestine-Israel is fully backed by Western imperialism's flotillas of warships and weaponry. Go on YouTube and see that stuff. It's awful. The tragic irony of 2023 is that it is the 85th anniversary of Kristallnacht and the Nazi state's drive for a final solution to its Jewish population, which it terms its Jewish problem. And it is the 75th anniversary of the Nakba, which marks the beginning of the dispossession of the Palestinian people from their homeland. The genocide we are witnessing in Gaza and the West Bank in November 2023 reflects Israel's commitment to the total elimination of the Palestinian people.
One injustice does not justify another. Never again was the refrain after the horrors of the Nazi concentration camps and death chambers. Not in my name is the protest of Jewish opponents of Israel's state-sanctioned genocide of the Palestinian people. From its inception, progressive Jews have denounced the colonial nature of Israel. Jewish faith leaders, following the precepts of their own historic liberation from slavery in Egypt, swore to ensure the right of all people to live free of oppression.
African nations, along with the majority of the United Nations in countless resolutions, have consistently denounced the injustices perpetrated by Israel in its illegal occupation of Palestinian land. They know the evils of colonialism firsthand and denounce it despite enormous pressure from the imperial powers which promote Israel's interests and defend its terrorist attacks on the Palestinian people. We condemn categorically attacks on civilian populations, whoever they are. We defend, however, the right of the Palestinian people to live free in their homeland. We denounce Israel's apartheid policies that have restricted Palestinians to prison conditions throughout their territory as they watch settler populations imported to take over their homes and their land. We defend the right of the Palestinian people to resist the terror visited upon them.
The most immediate need is to end Israel's genocidal attacks on the populations of the Gaza and the West Bank. Rejoin with independent Jewish voices and Canadians for Justice and Peace in the Middle East in calling for an immediate ceasefire of all hostilities in Israel-Palestine, an end to the blockade of Gaza, and for the restoration of humanitarian aid and access to the basic necessities of life. Beyond these immediate steps, the world must support efforts for a just and lasting peace in Israel-Palestine and address the root cause of the violence, Israel's decades-long occupation of Palestinian territory.
Canada, our country, abstained from an emergency resolution at the UN General Assembly for a ceasefire backed by 120 countries. We demand an immediate reversal of this position. Since 2011, Canada has voted no to at least 149 UN resolutions, making it Israel's biggest backer after the United States. Palestinians, Israelis, and all people in the region deserve to live in peace and security and with justice for all. We therefore call for a reversal of Canada's historic complicity in Israeli crimes against the Palestinians and for Canada to stand in solidarity with Palestinians and to staunchly advocate for the end of Israeli apartheid. Canada, we call on them to accept the right of the Palestinian people to resist the colonial occupation of their country. Canada must withdraw all military, diplomatic, and moral support for the Israeli regime's illegal occupation and war crimes. Canada must work towards a full and comprehensive peace treaty with the Palestinian people as full and equal partners in the negotiations.
Amandla.
Rawe tu.
So for those of you who followed the show over the years, it is very rare that I speak personally and bare my soul in terms of my own life and upbringing, but I'm going to do that tonight in the context of what's going on right now in Palestine. I was not brought up in a religious household, but I was raised in the Jewish tradition, a tradition that calls on Jews and all people to strive for a just world, one in which there is no freedom until all are free. This is the essential message of Pesach, or Passover, and each year we would read, and we still read, from the book of Passover, the Haggadah, the story of the exodus of the liberation of Jews from slavery to music, apparently. As a tiny kid, it fired up a passion in me for justice, freedom, and solidarity, and I know with every ounce of my being that it ultimately put me in this chair, in this studio at CKUT for over three decades now, producing radio that unequivocally sided with the oppressed in a spirit of solidarity and freedom. I'm going to read two brief passages from the Haggadah tonight. At the very opening, it states, quote, "On this night, long years ago, the Jews hearkened to the call of freedom. Tonight, that call rings out again, sounding its glorious challenge, commanding us to champion the cause of all the oppressed and the downtrodden, summoning all the peoples throughout the world to arise and be free. Let us pray that the time be not distant when all of the world will be liberated from cruelty, tyranny, oppression, and war. Peoples have suffered, nations have struggled to make the dream of freedom come true. Now we dedicate ourselves to the struggle of freedom. Though the sacrifice be great and the hardships many, we shall not rest until the chains that enslave all people are broken."
Amandla.
This is the voice, wisdom, and vision of the ancients, with a message as clear and urgent as ever, one that calls on all of us to relentlessly struggle for freedom of all peoples. It guides me, and it guides many, And let us not be thrown off by propaganda that seeks to divide us, that seeks to put up a wall between Jews and Palestinians. This was not the vision of the ancients, and we cannot let it be the vision today. It is only through solidarity that we can all be free.
Yeah, man. Une chanson pour le capitaine Thomas Isidore Jean-Noël Sankara. Ne parle pas de Sankara. Pourquoi chez moi, in my country, on ne parle pas de Sankara. Et pourtant, il fait partie du patrimoine de ce pays. Et pourtant, il fait partie des bâtisseurs de mon Africa.
Listening to CKUT 90.3 FM on the dial, www.ckut.ca, everywhere. South African sympathy for the Palestinian fight for an independent state goes back to the days of late anti-apartheid icon Nelson Mandela. He famously said in 1997, 3 years after he became the country's first democratically elected president, after decades of struggle against white minority rule, quote, "We know too well that our freedom is incomplete without the freedom of the Palestinians," end of quote. The unprecedented Hamas attack on Israel has not changed the position of the country's ruling party, the African National Congress, ANC, even though two South African nationals were among the dead and another is among the hostages. President Ramaphosa has pledged the ANC's solidarity with the Palestinians, saying their history has echoes of apartheid and South Africa's struggle against white minority rule. Although he did condemn the Hamas assault, a week later he led 60 party leaders as they waved Palestinian flags while wearing the traditional checkered black and white Palestinian scarf, the kufiya. Quote, "They are people who have been under occupation for almost 75 years, he said, of the Palestinians. They have been waiting and waging a war against a government that has been dubbed an apartheid state." End of quote. To view the entire article, please refer to the BBC website.
first met Gwen and in Mandla back in 2011 on a visit to Canada. I was invited to speak at an event at which Carrie Levitt was to speak. I had no idea who a mandala was or what it was about at that time, and only became aware of this extraordinary initiative much later. Gwen and Doug have really made history with a mandala. I know all too well of the madness of the weekly deadline in publishing Pambazuka News, and I couldn't believe there could be other crazy people who were willing to keep a weekly program going on a shoestring. I think they even had to buy their own shoestrings. Gwen, Doug, and a host of volunteers produced a program that was as unique as it was powerful and informative, and often challenging. In this corner of the settler colony that is Canada, a mandala provided analyses, commentary, and celebration of the struggles of the peoples of Africa, keeping alive the radical voice of Africa for Canadians and for many beyond. I was always honored to be interviewed, but also I have to say that I learned so much about how to conduct interviews from a mandala. Over the last period, a mandala asked me to curate a monthly show, something I was thrilled to do. But some may feel that this is a sad moment, the ending of the weekly broadcasts that have been going out for decades. But this is not a time for tears, but one for celebration of all that has been achieved. Nothing other than our values and our aspirations for justice, dignity, and human emancipation needs to, or indeed should, last forever. Today is the marking of a stepping stone towards a future that builds on the extraordinary achievements of a mandala, and a celebration, an expression of deep gratitude and love to all those involved, not least Gwen and Doug. Thank you for everything you have done and for what you are about to continue doing. With much love, Feroz Manji.
Wow. Thanks, Feroz. That's very, very touching. I'm not normally that sentimental, but yes, that caught me quite off guard for its power, and I appreciate it. And I truly believe what he said is very important. Feroz contributed along with his partner Molly Kane, many others. Gwen have
this was
stood in the corridors and contributed wherever they could.
Yes,
Tamara Herman, my goodness,
where this was not the Gwen and Doug show. You know, we've been on for more than three decades, and honestly, dozens of people have cycled through this show making huge contributions, and our apologies to those who are not specifically named. But I do have to name the co-founder of the show, Suzanne Smythe, who will be calling in about 20 minutes. Tamara, oh my God, shouldered it. Wonderful. Justine, Tana, Diana, Melanie, Aziz, Rashid, Ahmet, Farid, Maloud sitting right beside me, Mustafa, Yassine, Pohana, May, Dave. It goes on and on. And I know we're missing some critical names, but it has been dozens of people who've contributed in a multitude of absolutely fantastic and creative and insightful ways. A mandala is this. It's this huge and beautiful tag team of people. Maloud?
Oui, voilà, donc... par débuter dans une émission comme celle-ci qui est forte en hommage, mais aussi il y a quand même un élément de tristesse du fait que c'est la dernière émission. Bon, moi je pourrais dire peut-être que j'ai contribué pendant une dizaine d'années à faire en sorte que ces idées qui animent l'émission depuis le milieu des années 80, donc une perspective panafricaniste sur l'actualité politique africaine, mais on voit ce que le panafricanisme est devenu, mais je pense que ce que Amandla a essayé de faire valoir, c'est une perspective panafricaniste, socialiste également, donc c'est un mot... qu'on n'était pas gêné d'employer. Et puis, je pense aussi que la réussite d'Amandla pour la période où j'étais là pendant une dizaine d'années, de fin des années 90 jusqu'au milieu des années 2000, c'était de faire dialoguer des perspectives ou des espaces régionaux africains qui ne communiquent pas facilement entre eux. Je pense à toute la couverture qu'on a eu assurée sur le Maghreb. Bon, on sait que Amandla a été créée dans la foulée de la solidarité et dans la lutte anti-apartheid dans les années 80, mais il y a des questions qui ont été traitées plus particulièrement dans le cadre de cette émission, qui était marginalisée par ailleurs dans les médias québécois. Je pense à la question du Sahara occidental, pour laquelle vous avez, toi, Aziz, même Dog, joué un rôle important, essayer de mettre cette question-là dans l'actualité, d'essayer de montrer en quoi consiste cette dernière colonie africaine, on pourrait peut-être dire les choses comme ça. La tragédie congolaise également, hein. On parle de la question palestinienne, mais comment qualifier ce qui se passe au Congo depuis la fin de la...
Atroce.
Ouais, peut-être commenter là-dessus, peut-être la tragédie congolaise et l'importance que ça a pris au sein de l'émission.
Depuis l'assassinat de
Lumumba. Oui, mais de la couverture que l'émission a consacrée dans les années 90.
Oh, mais là, c'était tellement bouleversant. Une autre affaire comme le Palestine-Israël, où le narratif dominant a ignoré complètement les massacres puis les atroces qui sont occasionnés là-bas, là. Mm-hmm. Ça m'a fait pleurer.
Et l'implication d'une demi-douzaine ou plus de pays, c'était une guerre mondiale sans que les médias le disent. Puis nous, on a dit, c'est une guerre mondiale, mais le fait que ça se passe au Congo, on ne parle pas dans ces termes-là, on ne parle presque pas. Mais c'était ça. Puis c'était à Amandla de le mettre dans ces termes-là.
Oui, je pense que c'est une guerre mondiale à l'échelle régionale. C'est plus, je ne sais pas à combien on peut chiffrer cette tragédie. J'ai dit à 10, 12, 15 millions. Bref, donc c'est l'une des questions sur lesquelles l'émission, beaucoup de crédit qui revient à l'émission. Moi, personnellement, j'ai beaucoup appris sur cette question-là. Du fait d'avoir eu à me préparer, ça m'a donné la chance d'y aller. J'ai été une fois en République démocratique du Congo. Je pense que c'est l'une des grandes opportunités que j'ai eues dans ma vie en 2011. Donc, je pense aussi à la couverture qu'on a fait sur le Maghreb, à la faveur, si vous voulez, de ce qu'on appelle les printemps arabes à partir de 2010-2011. Voilà, donc je ne sais pas vraiment quoi dire, sinon de dire qu'il y a quelque chose qui a été assuré de façon quotidienne pendant plusieurs décennies. J'aimerais peut-être vous faire parler, peut-être avec le recul, quand on voit le rôle qu'a eu à jouer Amandla dans les années 80, donc de faire un travail d'éducation, de conscientisation sur cette question africaine, mais aujourd'hui... La couverture médiatique africaine, quel bilan vous pouvez en tirer? Parce que dans la mesure où Amandla tire sa révérence, mais aujourd'hui la couverture africaine ici à l'échelle québécoise, peut-être j'aimerais qu'on en discute un petit peu avant.
Oui, écoute, on attend un appel, alors on va peut-être interrompre, mais je dois dire qu'avec une grande tristesse, que je ne pense pas que ça a vraiment évolué dans le sens du mainstream média. Je pense aujourd'hui d'une façon très, avec beaucoup de tristesse et peine et anger, à la situation qui se passe au Soudan maintenant. Puis, tu sais, c'est les médias sont complètement absents sur la question du Soudan. Et je pense à Duha, je veux la remercier aussi, une grande contributrice ici à Amandla, qui a parlé avec connaissance et passion de la situation au Soudan, qui est d'une situation absolument épouvantable maintenant, puis on n'entend absolument rien. Alors le fait que, oui, c'est notre dernière émission sur CKUT ce soir, ce n'est pas un testament que les choses ont amélioré, qu'il n'y a pas un besoin de ce type de couverture. Au contraire, je trouve que c'est peut-être pire maintenant que c'était quand on a commencé l'émission. Quand on a commencé l'émission, c'était le mouvement anti-apartheid. Quand même, l'Afrique australe était dans l'esprit des gens.
Absolument.
Les gens connaissaient, ils apprenaient, ils étaient inspirés, ils faisaient le débat. On parlait de l'Afrique, ou au moins l'Afrique australe. Là, maintenant, non. On ne parle pas du Soudan, on ne parle pas de Niger, du Mali, de... Tu sais, Sama parle de l'Égypte. Qui autre dans les médias parle de l'Égypte? Alors, c'est une catastrophe. Mais je veux souligner, Amandla, ACKUT comme émission radiophonique, c'est la dernière soirée, mais on lance un podcast.
Voilà.
Alors, il y aura Amandla Radio Podcast qui va continuer.
Voilà.
On n'a pas trouvé notre plateforme encore, mais s'il vous plaît, dans les prochaines semaines, fais une recherche. Amandla Radio Podcast, on sera de retour dans un autre format.
Voilà, merci infiniment, Gwen, merci Doc. Donc on retourne en pause musicale, donc restez à l'écoute pour la suite de l'émission.
Welcome back to Amandla here on CQT 90.3 FM. Of our final broadcast after more than three decades, and we're joined now on the phone, I think from Ottawa, by Ule Gustad, who has been an amazing contributor to the show and supporter of the show. Ule, are you there?
Hi, Gwen.
Hi, Gwen.
Hi, Doug.
Hi,
everybody. You will be missed, but it's with mixed feelings. I'm calling in for the last time, but times are changing, and there are new formats that will reach maybe more people. You know, I've been involved with radio for so many years. It's a great medium, but. People are moving in different directions, and I think it's a good time to make that move to another format. What we do know is of all the issues that Amandla has been dealing with, not only in Africa, there are lots of challenges ahead, and we talk at the time when. All our eyes are on Palestine, at least I speak for myself and maybe for many others. And there will be a lot of work to do on anti-imperialist work, big challenges ahead. And I hope that as the show finds a new format, a new form, that we can continue to, you know, look in the right direction, in a good direction, and provide a forum and inspiration for the people who are with you, who are with us, as you have done for so many years. So I'm grateful to you guys who have been at the core of the show. I have found it a great inspiration to contribute from time to time, and that's it. I don't know what more to say than wish you a happy journey as you go ahead with doing what you want to do.
I thank you for that, Uli. We really appreciate those words. Very.
I'm looking forward. I used to live within a 10-minute walk of the studio. I'm a bit further away, but this doesn't matter at all anymore.
Well, we're still kind of angry with you about that, but that's okay, Uli. We'll eventually forgive you.
You'll come up and see me, and yes. then you will know that it was a good move.
Yes, and Uli, one thing I want to say to you is before we even knew each other, I remember you did a documentary on Mozambique. I was just a young teen at the time, and I happened to hear it, I think, on CBC, and it just opened my eyes and my mind to what was going on in Southern Africa at the time and really contributed to the creation of Amandla, which was created in those years out of a concern for what was going on in apartheid South Africa and the so-called frontline states, all those neighboring countries that were suffering at the hands of that white supremacist government. And, you know, you really actually played a direct role in the creation of the show through your own amazing radio journalism. And tonight is a tribute to radio. I really want to underline that. The fact that we're moving away from radio to a podcast doesn't take away from our love of, and respect for radio. And you've been a huge player in that, Uli, over the years. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Gwen. Thank you, Doug. Bon voyage, and we shall stay in touch because Aluta continua.
Aluta continua.
Amandla.
Amandla. Amandla. Bye,
bye,
guys.
Uli.
Bye then.
Bye.
So, Roberto, you're juggling an absolutely adorable child in your arms, and we would like to hear from you.
Yes. Hello. Oh, sorry. Hi. I don't know if this is working. Okay. Yeah, I have a baby, so I'll try to gather my thoughts. Je vais peut-être parler en français, ça va être plus facile. Alors, mais les pensées qui me viennent à l'esprit en ce moment, c'est j'ai rien préparé. C'est vraiment ce qui me passe par la tête. Mais je me souviens d'Amandla. En fait, j'écoutais passionnément l'émission Amandla. C'était une émission qui avait une analyse absolument incroyable au niveau de l'Afrique, une analyse anticoloniale très pertinente, et c'était la seule émission qui parlait de ces sujets-là en ondes, et je pense que c'est toujours pertinent aujourd'hui. Je pense qu'il faut continuer de diffuser ces analyses, c'est ça qui est important. J'espère que vous allez continuer de partager ces analyses de toutes sortes de façons, d'aller chercher peut-être des nouveaux publics à travers un podcast ou, je ne sais pas, à travers YouTube ou à travers les plateformes qui existent. Je me souviens aussi de toi, Gwen, alors que je faisais de la radio, dans une autre radio, dans la campagne pour boycotter Shell, en soutien... j'oublie les...
En soutien, oui. De la lutte anti-apartheid.
Je crois que c'était un peu plus tôt. Ouais, c'est encore dans la lutte anti-apartheid, mais je veux dire, il y avait. C'était la campagne pour boycotter, si on veut, les Shell et puis les compagnies pétrolières dans le delta du Niger.
Le
Nigeria,
exactement.
Le Nigeria, oui. Et pour moi. À ce moment-là, en tout cas, c'était vraiment. Ça m'a beaucoup impacté. J'étais vraiment très touché par ce mouvement-là et ce mouvement de solidarité pour attirer l'attention sur ce qui se passait. Au Nigeria. Et c'est ça qui m'a amené un jour, finalement, à venir dans le studio et à vous dire bonjour et à me joindre à l'émission Amandla et à essayer de partager des analyses aussi sur différentes questions en Afrique dont on ne parle pas dans les autres médias.
OK, on te libère.
Et en tout cas, ce que je voudrais dire, c'est que je vous encourage, c'est pas la fin. Je pense que vous allez reprendre le flambeau d'une autre façon. J'espère que ça va rejoindre un plus grand public. J'espère qu'on pourra aller chercher un public avec sous d'autres formes. Alors, je pense qu'on se dit pas On ne se dit pas que c'est la fin, mais c'est le début d'une nouvelle...
C'est à la prochaine.
Je pense au futur et je pense qu'il y a beaucoup de choses à faire.
Merci, Roberto.
Merci à toi, Gwen.
Manu Dibango is the most sampled African artist of all time. Sample Chief has over 125 samples and covers on record, with the actual number estimated to be much higher. From the So Sonic Forces 1983 track, Renegades of Funk, to Busta Rhymes keeping it tight. Cop hot shit, big up my nigga Primo. Stack new with my nigga Dino and Nino. Julio, Cliff and my other nigga Digo. Manu Dibango was born in Cameroon in 1933. At 15, he left to study in France, where he picked up the saxophone and piano while in school.
Welcome back to Amanda here on CQT 90.3 FM, and we have a real blast with the past avec Fabrice, qui par surprise est venu nous rejoindre avant l'émission, puis il est venu au studio. Merci tellement, Fabrice, tes réflexions.
Merci à vous toutes et à tous. Déjà, comment je pourrais dire ma réflexion, je tombe dans un monde là. J'ai fait de la radio universitaire et très rapidement, je voulais continuer. J'arrive à CKUT et on parle de l'émission Amandla. C'est comme ça que je découvre. Mais quand je découvre Amandla, je pense que je suis l'un des derniers, je m'estime comme le dernier enfant de la vague. Je pense Amandla, pour moi, c'est comme un baobab venant d'Afrique. Donc quand j'arrive, le baobab, il est déjà là. Il s'appelle Amandla. Et pourquoi je dis c'est un baobab? Parce que je découvre beaucoup de personnes sages autour, beaucoup de personnes inspirantes autour, beaucoup de personnes. C'est là où je découvre la première fois Franck Fanon, en entendant les discussions. Mmh. Parce qu'Amandla, c'est pas juste le show. Après le show, on s'assoit, on discute. Et autour de ça, j'ai découvert une belle communauté. Une belle communauté qui a une voix. Et pour moi, au-delà de la voix, c'est surtout l'écho de cette voix. Et je pense que ça va pas terminer. Parce qu'une voix et cet écho, elle va être permanente. Même si pour un bout de temps, nos auditeurs ne vont pas entendre nos voix, je pense que l'écho est contagieuse. Et mon ambition, c'est définitivement de voir la chose continuer. J'ai eu des bons moments avec Doug, notamment pour couvrir certaines Coupes d'Afrique. On a regardé des matchs ensemble
coupe
et tout.
Monde.
Et Coupe du Monde et tous ces autres éléments. Mais pour moi, c'est une grande famille. Et je pense que je suis Gwen, ainsi que plein d'autres personnes que j'ai pu rencontrer ici. C'est une grande famille. C'est un baobab. Et un baobab, il est permanent. Et vraiment, félicitations. Et je ne peux que dire, même les auditeurs, je suis certain, qui pourront certainement me joindre dans ça, c'est un écho, et un écho n'arrête jamais. Il poursuit.
Merci beaucoup, camarade.
C'est très, très beau. Alors, dans quelques instants, on va recevoir un appel de la co-fondatrice de l'émission, Suzanne Smith. But while we're waiting for that, you know, Doug, you joined the show, I don't know, maybe a decade after it was founded. I can't quite remember.
1996, November. It was a dark and stormy night. And a lot like today. No, it's not dark and stormy. It's just dark tonight. But anyway, it was a dark and stormy night. I came in here and I found Tana. I think the first time I came, I found him reading a manifesto from the African Communist, the South African Journal of the Communist Party.
Sounds about right.
And we got together after that. The next week I came back, and there was Jock Cossette. Mouloud told me his name. Jock, he was actually a professional journalist from the Radio-Canada who had taken... Aziz's place, because Aziz had a job, a part-time job in Sherbrooke or Trois-Rivières or somewhere where he had to be away every Wednesday night to lecture. And so he recruited Jock and one of his students, a Senegalese lady who then did the French side, and we got in, Tana and I did the English side. Well, Tana was great. He was a great on-air personality and so on, but he wasn't the teacher of the year award, wouldn't go that way. And he was more like, here you are, here's the dock, there's the deep end, and go, Doug. So that's how I got going. November 1996, we would meet on Duluth. There was a cafe on the corner of Duluth and Saint-Laval, and right next door was a big magazine store in the day when we had magazine stores.
And it was let's be clear, clear about this, pre-email, pre-internet.
Computer, internet, what is that? Yeah. I wrote it out longhand. And we would pick up the latest Guardian Weekly with, what was that name of that? Chris McGreal. He was amazing writing out of South Africa. And that was the time when things were still hot going on. And then we would pick up the Jeune Afrique and New African and L'Observateur, Le Monde Diplomatique, whatever it was that gave us African news, we would collect it on Tuesday night, plan the next day, and come together, and hopefully Tana would pitch up. Thankfully, we only had to do half an hour because the Francophone side was still well organized and they did it all. They gradually tapered off. Maloud carried that for many, many years, and then somehow, slowly, we lost that French side. And that's been missing. Aziz wrote us a very lovely tribute, and unfortunately I just can't access everything because it's not on my computer right now. But I was very appreciative of his kind words for all the work that we'd done, because Aziz, to his credit, was very much part of the early Amandla. He was a founding member of the Group for Research and Initiatives for the Liberation of Africa. Mm-hmm. Amandla became more or less a collective within that
umbrella. Yeah, it started out as a production of the Southern Africa Committee of McGill, which was the anti-apartheid committee, and then gradually Grila took over the helm, and it was really chapeauted by Grila for many years before it then kind of went on to become a more autonomous, linked to a particular organization show.
It was interesting, and at that point it was in the basement of the McGill Students Union, the William Shatner Building, as it's known today, and it was a rabbit warren, a scary place to walk into.
Fire trap.
If ever anything happened in there, there was no way out. And my partner Nelly had been a part of a fact-finding tour in 19... Are we still on air? I hope we are, because the lights just went out. Anyway, she had been part of a fact-finding tour for the Malawi Action Committee, which in 1992 and 94 was struggling to throw the dictator out of Malawi and trying to pressure from overseas. And went to Malawi in 93 after a referendum had occurred there to promote multi-party democracy, and came back to promote the fact that change was occurring in Malawi, and we got into the studio, and that's how we really got to know Amanda firsthand, right on the ground.
Okay, so Doug, you are such a super veteran, because right now we're in the middle of a power failure at the station with alarms going off, but you're soldiering on, and good for you.
I think we're still on the air, because I think that's what happens at this sort of thing.
Actually, we're broadcasting in the dark right now.
And I don't need script because I can go like that. So that's my introduction to Amandla. And I must say, over the years, I've grown a lot through it and really found it exciting to be able to learn and develop and do better things with it. And that was how I approached the COVID end of this thing as well. Are we able to even play music?
Yeah, we're going to take a little musical break and try to figure out why we're in the dark right now. We'll be right back.
Okay,
babe. Oh.
Bye. Deborah, uyu kalikute kitali sini auma anga duku peka chitungodo surukudo nankakati hinana anga mahovika murutisa kuteka firi jelasa uko mbuka umine kubamba umine klise kuchepe kubanda amine
Welcome back to Amandla here on CQT 90.3 FM in Montreal. So auspicious. We're sitting in a very dark station right now with a power failure. We do not know why, but what I'm really happy to say is that joining us from Vancouver right now is Suzanne Smythe, who is the cherished co-founder of this crazy show. Suzanne. Oh, God, please tell me you can hear me. Suzanne? Me? Yes. Are you there?
Can you? Hello.
Hi,
Suzanne.
Can you hear us?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi,
can you
Suzanne.
Hear us?
Can you hear us?
Oh.
Hello.
Hello, hello. No.
So our mics are off.
Yeah, maybe I can hear you.
Oh, you can hear us now? That's wonderful. Okay. Let's carry on.
Suzanne?
Hello. Can Hello.
You, okay, no. Can you hear us? Say yes or no. No. Okay. So that's that. Let's just...
Hello.
Oh, hi. Can you hear us? Okay. We can hear Suzanne. She cannot hear us. So clearly the power failure has messed up circuits here in the studio. I don't even know if we're on air at this point. We're going to say bye-bye to Suzanne and go to some music. Mama ku, mama sama ku makusa. 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 Sumanya. Okay, folks, so my wonderful sister and dear friend just texted me to say we are on air. We had no idea, but clearly can't take long-distance phone calls right now. So sad. Suzanne Smythe was the co-founder of the show, and in just a couple of minutes, unfortunately she can't summarize this, but I will. She and I came together. We were both members of the Southern Africa Committee at McGill, anti-apartheid activists. We were alarmed and outraged by the shift in the Canadian media coverage of South Africa, which started turning the story from apartheid being a white supremacist government into so-called black-on-black violence. And Suzanne and I just decided this is not okay. And we marched into CKUT and we said we need at least half an hour on the airwaves to be able to talk about what's really going on in South Africa. It's hot. The South Africans are pushing back. They're going to bring the system down, but they need Canadian support, and they're not going to get the Canadian support if Canadians are only hearing propaganda. And so, long story short, wasn't easy, but we managed to get our time slot, and we got on air that first day, no radio training, completely nervous, ended up kind of like nervously giggling ourselves through the first half hour. But then, you know, we kind of pulled ourselves together and started producing scripts and starting to talk about South Africa and then Southern Africa that was suffering at the hands of the apartheid regime. And before we knew it, instead of half an hour, we had an entire hour. It was English and French. And the show just grew and grew and grew from there. And Suzanne, a while ago, sent me photographs of some of our original scripts, which were just kind of hilariously lost in the woods. But somehow, through all of the chaos and lack of training, we managed to get ourselves some training, thanks to CKUT. And as we wind down our last show tonight, I really do want to thank CKUT. They have embraced us. They have helped us. They've trained us. They've been there for us. We're hoping they'll be there for us as we move on to a podcast version of Amandla Radio. But they've just been absolutely incredible. And as we go, sort of turn off the lights on the show tonight, we do want to say that CKUT has been just a worthy, unbelievable ally. And we will not necessarily be here to raise funds for CKUT, although maybe some of us will dive in and do that. But we would encourage our faithful listeners who've always been unbelievably generous donors to the station, even without Amandla, please continue to support a station that's kept independent media and independent voices alive. And us stepping back should not end that commitment.
Yeah, I'm sorry that one grumpy old man's going to be taken off the radio because of his retirement. But at the same time, without CKUT and community radio, we believe in community radio. It gives voice to voices that would never otherwise have access to the airwaves and to the public ear. And I must say, I'm astounded how many places I go and how many times I bump into people who say, "Oh, you're Amandla. You're Amandla." Yeah. They know it. They know the radio, and especially, but now that we have it hooked up to the internet, people from around the world are getting in touch. So it's amazing.
And a little reminder: Amandla means power. So it's Zulu means power. Amandla Ngwetu is power to the people. That's certainly going to be the spirit in which we're going to pursue our podcast. Before we go off air, I also really want to tip my hat to Feroz Manji and Tena Guse, who jumped on board in the last incarnation of our show over the last year, where we were having curated shows, and you know, they did it with brio and brilliance and beautiful, beautiful productions and a complete commitment to the show and producing great stuff that you would not really hear anywhere else in the world. And you know, they jumped on board and they, you know, they made an absolutely amazing contribution in the 11th hour of Amandla. So a big shout out and thanks to both of those amazing people.
They both have a special place in my heart, that's for sure. And Tane, of course, was in this very same studio with me when I started. Those many 27 years ago. So thanks again, guys, and thanks all you listeners. You guys have really been our faithful listeners and supporters. We're so glad that you're still.
Thank you, Nadia. Thank you, Gwen. You've been really wonderful. It's a celebration today of all what you offered to CKUT and all what you went for us, fighting for the freedom of all peoples. That was wonderful. We won't forget you. And I think it's a second new début. Mm-hmm. And the podcast would certainly bring new audiences.
Mulud.
And we wish you all the best.
Thank you, Sama, and your contribution too has been precious. Mulud.
Ben voilà, merci pour cette immense contribution à vous tous, et tout, surtout pour les dernières années, je n'étais pas à vos côtés, mais on va continuer dans cette idée de podcast, qui est l'idée d'avenir, je crois, qui permet de rejoindre tout le monde. Voilà, donc ce n'est qu'une transformation, ce n'est pas une morte.
Non, ce n'est qu'un au revoir.
C'est ça.
C'est ça. Oh, there we are. There's Stella.
You're listening to CKUT. The following is a previously broadcast program. Stay tuned.
Hello, my guys, gals, and non-binary pals. You are listening to Voices of Montreal Panacea on CKUT 90.3 FM. It's me, your host, Michelle, and it's 11 months of the show this month, so that's so close to 1 year. It's really exciting. And today is a double header day for Panacea. So this is a redo from last week because I slept through the show. It happens. Your girl's body needed the sleep. So this week, this Thursday, we're joined by my wise and awesome friend, who's also an avatar in another life, Ben. Say hi, Ben.
What's up, guys?
And he's going to share a lot of insightful knowledge about the practice of meditation and how it helps us achieve mindfulness or get closer to the
Yeah, just to essentially try to be a more mindful person.
Yeah, try to be a more mindful person. And then later today from 5 to 6, I also have a show with my good friend Saoirse. And we're going to be talking about creativity and psychopathology. So, as always, let's begin with a song. This is How Long Do I Have to Wait for You by Sharon Jones and the Dip Kings.